Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast, a podcast about expanding your creative capacity. Each week, we interview inspiring creatives to help you grow your freelance career. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm a part of the artist marketing and partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. Today's guest is a Brazilian visual artist focused on illustration and animation based out of Sao Paulo, Brazil. They enjoy working on challenging projects, expressing different topics, and portraying the client's needs in an authentic way. They have worked with a wide range of clients, such as the New York Times, Coca-Cola, Snapchat, Jiffy, WGSN, and many more. Their designs incorporate vibrant colors, quirkiness, and a bit of magic and surrealism. Welcome to the pod, Henry Campea.
Hi, Andrea. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited to have you on. I think this is going to be a really fun conversation.
Yeah, it's my first time getting interviewed by a podcast, Ooh. So... I'm excited about it too.
Well, cheers to that. Hopefully we'll bring in many more in the future. Yeah. Awesome. So I'll just dive right into it with my first question, which is the most basic question you're going to get today probably. But can you just give us a quick overview of your creative journey and how you got into doing freelance full time?
Yeah. Most of illustrators, I've started drawing when I was little. Mm-hmm. I should draw a lot. Luckily, my mom was okay with that and let me draw on the walls, etc.
Yeah.
So it put me on creative classes. And then I went to college and I studied graphic design. Mm-hmm. I wasn't focusing on illustration at first because I felt like, well, just only a few people does that, like, it's not yeah. like a serious job or something yeah. like that. So I went to graphic design and then I had like, I had worked in different companies, like a tiny publisher, advertising agencies, and but I didn't really like doing graphic design. I knew how to do it, but I realized that I always try to include illustration whenever yeah. I could, like, and then I started drawing and posting on Facebook. Like 2014, I think. I created a page there. It was just like surreal and crazy drawings.
Yeah.
Just my friends liked it, but like it started growing. And then I went to Instagram, etc. And started working for, especially for editorial pieces on Brazilian magazines here. And then I had the first... inquiry from New York Times, and that was
that's awesome.
Huge for me.
Yeah,
and I was really excited about it. And then after that, like, well, before getting to a full-time freelance job, like I used to work on a illustration agency, and that was really good for me to work every day as an illustrator and have to think about like. Concepts, etc., and getting to work with bigger clients. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't really, the agency style wasn't my style, really. And I had, like, difficulty on trying to translate things in their way. Mm-hmm. And then I had, like, a wrist injury, etc. Mm-hmm. And... like, I stopped everything and thought, like, maybe I'm going to follow, like, being a freelance because I'll have more time and I can do my stuff.
Yeah.
Well, my wrist is better now. But it was kind of all of this London, and then I started sending like emails to many publishers, etc.
Yeah.
And projects started coming to me, and then here I am. Like, I'm working as a freelance illustrator, and I really like that. Like, I like having my own space and time to do things, and like clients searching me for my style, etc.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the journey. A little bit about it.
I love it. You mentioned that obviously. So the inquiries kind of started rolling in to your Instagram and like your Facebook and stuff when it was kind of just more of like a personal thing. How aware of you were like, or how aware of like the freelance illustration industry were you at that time? Like, you know, did you know that there was a ton of options outside of kind of, you know, just editorial work? Like, was that something that was kind of a goal of yours once your social started picking up momentum? Or was it really just like, oh, like these people want to pay me for my art? That's like super cool.
Yeah. Well, I knew that being an illustrator was a job like any other job.
Yeah.
I didn't know how the market and everything used to work. So when clients started appearing, like it was, I was getting the like feeling that I can work with that, and like I can live doing that. Before, I used to think like it was like something extra. Like I have my job, but like I do illustration and it's
on the side.
On the side. But yeah, in the beginning, I thought I was going to illustrate more for editorial projects. But then I had my first like packaging project here in Brazil for a paper company, their kids' paper project, you know. And then I realized that it's way more, like you can work for anything in illustration.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't need to be just on magazines or newspapers, etc. Like I've done like coffee packaging, like an animation for a billboard, face effects and filters, stickers and GIFs, etc. So I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did, totally. And I think that's always so interesting to me because like I obviously didn't come from a super creative field, so when I found Closer and Closer, that was really when I was like, oh my goodness, like this industry is so much more vast and like these illustrators are doing so much more than like I, you know, assumed that was possible for illustrators, just because, you know, you don't really realize how much illustration you see like just day to day and like how it's really a part of everything. And now, you know, obviously now that I work with all of you guys and like with the agency, I see it everywhere and I'm like, oh my goodness, like that illustration is so cool. Like, I wonder who did that. Or like my boyfriend always makes fun of me because I'm always pointing out type and like fonts. I'm like, oh, that's a really great font. Or like, oh, I don't like that sign or whatever. But it's always really interesting to me because it's such like an insular world. And unless you're a part of it, you typically don't, it's hard to get that information and like hard to understand just how much you can do with it. So I think that's really cool that it kind of just came to you and you, you know, took it and ran with it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, you see illustration everywhere. And I think, like, especially during the pandemic where many advertising agencies and publishers couldn't, like, do a photography, couldn't work with photography or video, etc., they went for animation and illustration.
Absolutely.
And, like, it's always present, like, everywhere, like, on food packaging.
Yeah.
If you walk the street, like everywhere you can see illustration.
Yeah. Have you noticed a shift in like the kinds of projects that you get now after the pandemic? Like, have you noticed kind of like, you know, like maybe less editorial projects and more along that vein that would typically use, like, you know, photography or video.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Especially advertising, mm-hmm. yes. And also the themes that we, like, had to work with during the pandemic. Like, I had some projects covering aspects of the pandemic, like mm-hmm. A Facebook project that was an illustration about thanking the teachers for mm-hmm. making any room a classroom during the pandemic. Also articles about, like, how to ride a bike during the pandemic and to virtual networking, etc.
Yeah.
So definitely was a topic that was present in mm-hmm. the projects. Like, I've drawn some characters wearing masks.
So many and characters wearing masks.
Yeah. And I think almost everyone from the roster and other illustrators realized that, like, it was something very present, like, in our lives, but also in our work as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that made it difficult to, like, you know, just get your mind off of it, because typically, you know, when I come to work, it's nice to have something to focus my energy on, especially when I'm, like, going through a rough time in my personal life. So I'm sure the fact that your work was also pretty much revolving around the pandemic and all the hardships that people were dealing with was difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, it's difficult, but at the same time, it was rewarding as well, because, well, during the pandemic, I was like, oh, what's the value of my work? Like, mm-hmm. there are, like, doctors and nurses and, you know, like, people really giving their lives. And I was like, I'm here drawing.
Yeah, the pandemic caused a lot of existential crises.
Yes. So, like, just to make an article, like, about it that might help people on mm-hmm. how to deal with the pandemic and make it more visual or attractive for someone to read, like, it's a little bit rewarding. Like, I don't know how it touched other people on a personal level, but definitely someone saw it and it meant something for them, so...
Yeah.
Or even just to inspire people to make art and draw and do stuff.
Absolutely.
It was very important during this moment.
Yeah, that is so true. I think that's a great perspective to take with it. And I know, yeah, every time I see the way that y'all represent some topics that, you know, because, like, when it comes to the pandemic, I can definitely picture a lot of the work that y'all did and how it would have maybe happened if people could be in person. Like, I can imagine, you know, the photos in my head that we probably would have gotten, and just mm-hmm. seeing, like, such a unique, fresh take that you guys bring to it. And, like, yeah, just the style that you guys bring to the projects y'all work on is really cool, because it just helps people look at things in a different way and really, really feel the spirit of, like, what, you know, whatever article's talking about or, like, whatever the project is. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
So even if it touched nobody else, it touched me every time I see all the work.
That's great.
Awesome. I'm going to pivot a little bit into more of your style, because, you know, I want to ask this question. I think I know what the answer is going to be, but I'm going to ask it anyways, because I love to hear the artists talk about this stuff. Because, again, it's just part of this world that I'm not super a part of for y'all. But what are some of the main inspirations behind your work? And where do you go when you're feeling kind of uninspired or unmotivated to create?
I'm very inspired by cartoons, like animations. Yeah. And especially the ones when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Powerpuff Girls and Dexter Laboratory. Is that
how
you call
it? Yeah, Dexter's Laboratory. Okay. I totally see the Powerpuff Girl influence. That was my favorite show as a kid.
Yeah, I love Powerpuff Girls. And just, like, seeing it now, the background art, like, how they used to draw the city and everything, the characters. I love Powerpuff Girls, like, so much.
It's so good.
And, Yeah, and I love the whole Cartoon Network, 90s and 2000s, Nickelodeon as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also like Brazilian influences, TV shows, and there's a comic book. I was so happy that Paola, my friend who is a part of the roster as well.
Yeah.
She was doing the she's doing the takeover during this week. And mm-hmm. she mentioned a comic called Turma da Mônica, Mônica's Gang. And it's part of like any Brazilian's childhood kids. And I love it so much. And like, it was I was very inspired by it. And also like Pokemon, etc.
Yeah.
I love animation mainly. I'm very inspired by surrealism mm-hmm. and I think anything. Like, I think what I believe that you can find inspiration on anything, like, if you're really paying attention to it, like,
mm-hmm.
smells and sounds, anything.
Yeah.
So, I try to make my channel open to things I see daily.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I love cartoons. I still watch it. Like, I just love animation.
Yeah. No, yeah, that just inspired me to, like, pull out some of the old VHS tapes that I have of, like, the Powerpuff Girls. Because I was obsessed with that show as a kid.
It's amazing. It's so good. Like, I love the character Him.
Yeah.
It's
iconic.
The best. It's the best. Like, and I think like I draw a lot of high heels on my character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm obsessed with high heels. Drawing on anything.
Yeah.
And like, I was very inspired by like his high heel. Like,
yeah.
I love it. I love it.
No, he's such a cool character. And like, such a cool design for him. It's something you don't see a lot in kids' shows. He's just so interesting.
No, yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I love to hear it. I mean, yeah, I think I really also loved what you said about like finding inspiration in anything, because I think that also, you know, a lot of the times we talk about like stuff in the past as inspiration and like where y'all get inspired to work from. But I think, you know, also keeping it, like, staying present in the moment and, like, bringing in what's happening now as part of your inspiration is so important to, like, you know, keeping it fresh and new. Because that's something that I talked about with Raul Urias, is that, you know, if you're only looking back at other people's work from the past or, like, even just, like, looking at other people's work that, like, they just created, it's hard to keep it fresh because, you know, you need those, like, current influences and, like, that experience that's only happening to you to really make it feel new and original.
Yes, definitely. Like, for example, last week I was listening to this song. It's a Brazilian song from 83 called Trem Fantasma, which means mm-hmm. ghost train.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to the song, like, walking down the street and, like, the images of this, like the lyrics, everything, like, just popped in my head. And I came home and started, like, drawing some scenes and how this ghost train behaves, etc.
That's
so
awesome.
I like to find inspiration everywhere. And it's, like, I don't like just being on Instagram or Pinterest, etc.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's literally everywhere. But sometimes we can, like, we're not that open to them, like, to the inspiration.
Totally.
When it happens, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you have any music that is your favorite to listen to when you need a little dose of inspiration? If the answer is no, that's totally fine.
Oh, I don't have, a specific music, but when I'm drawing, I like listening to music from other languages I don't understand.
Mm. Yeah.
because I don't get too caught on the lyrics, on what the meaning is, just the music.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I can, like, my brain functions better.
That makes total
sense.
What
I'm drawing, what I'm doing, because I don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know what these people are saying, so like, my brain's working. That is so funny. Yeah, because I can't listen to, like, especially if I'm writing, like, when I'm doing content calendars or anything where it requires me to, like, write stuff.
Yeah.
From my brain, I can't listen to music. I always have to turn everything off. So that's a really good suggestion. Because sometimes I do, like, you know, classical music, which is, like, the typical response. But maybe I'll try some music in a different language.
Yeah.
I do.
But if you listen to it many times, like, there's a Indian singer that I love, and I listen to her album so much. Even though I don't speak her language, I start singing.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
And like, okay, it's not working anymore.
I'm like, I'm sorry.
I need to listen to something new.
Yeah, I do the same thing. There's this like French like pop band that I really like. And my stepdad is Moroccan French, so he like speaks French fluently. Mm-hmm. And he makes so much fun of me because like sometimes I'll play it in the car and I'll like sing along and he's like, you're not saying words. Like, what are you doing?
You're not saying anything.
I'm like, I know the words. Even though I don't know the words, I know the words. I can make the same sounds.
Yeah, yeah, that happens with Brazilian music as well. Like I think I know the lyrics and I'm singing like, but it's not really.
Yeah, that is so funny. I got to give that a try though. You got to send over the Indian artist as well because I'd love to check it out.
I'll send you.
Beautiful. Awesome. Moving on to kind of like a different, more, this is still related to your work, but a little bit less directly. Something that we've talked about before, again, in our quarterly check-ins is your desire to help underserved artists in your community. You've talked about like, you know, your podcast and different courses that you were like, oh yeah, like I would love to teach a course for free. You're always kind of looking for ways to give back to your community, which I think is awesome. Because a lot of those things are pretty scary to take on, honestly. So I think it's cool that you're interested in them. Where does this desire stem from for you? And why do you think that this is something that's so important to you?
Yeah. Being a part of the LGBTQA+ community, I see many people that wants to work as an illustrator, etc., or in a creative career. And like, I feel like I feel the need to give back a little on what I know. And like my podcast started with this desire to interview other, well, I don't have the podcast anymore because I realized it's very hard. It's not easy. You know the.
Yeah, a little bit of work.
Yeah, it is. But I didn't have a channel where here in Brazil, like I felt the need to like, talk to other creatives and inspire other people and like talk about the hardship of our work because sometimes it's very romanticized and it's hard.
Yeah.
It's not easy and it takes a lot of energy and you doubt yourself and everything. Like it's like any work.
Yeah.
But about the LGBTQ community, like, something I do, I started doing like, I think 2 years ago. Like I felt like some companies wanted to work with pride related, projects with me, but I didn't really see like how this campaign or this project is going back to the community.
Mm.
Like I feel sometimes like the companies,
They're like pandering.
Pink money. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I have projects where the companies like really did something back to the community. That was a bit hard for me, like noticing that. So I've added to my contract, especially for this type of projects, a percentage of the work that goes through a organization that
I
choose. And it's part of the budget, you know, the value of the work. And I put that like on my contract because Like if they are not doing something back to the community, like at least like in this project, I can do something.
And, yeah.
And it's a way to give back.
That's amazing.
Because I don't know, many people came before us and literally gave their lives. Mm-hmm. So to the cause, and I think, especially here in Brazil, which like it's a very transphobic country, like money makes difference. Like even if it's for food or anything, like any assistance. So yeah,
absolutely. No, I think that's amazing that that's something that you do. I wasn't aware that that was something that you did, and I think that's awesome. And I think that's really inspiring because, like, I feel like so often, you know, you're working with these big companies and corporations, and you really, it's hard to feel like, you know, how can I make a difference in this project? You know, it's like one project with this huge company that's going to do what they want to do regardless. Like, there's other illustrators out there that will do the project if I don't. So I think that's such a wonderful way to kind of make sure that what you're doing aligns with your values, kind of regardless of, you know, who you're working for, or, like, what their goals might be.
And I thought that was a simple idea, and then I was talking to a friend, and she was like, you should tell people
about absolutely.
It, because you can use it, like, in any kind of project. Talks about any kind of social
issue.
Yeah. So I shared on my Instagram once, and like I know some people that does the same thing now. Like
That's
they
awesome.
Add this thing on their contract, and I'm happy that other people got inspired by it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Do you ever? I mean, this is a little bit, you know, kind of not negative, but like I guess I'm not seeing the best in people. But do you ever get worried that like a client will kind of see that and like react negatively, or maybe like, I wouldn't say not want to work with you because that seems a little bit extreme, but you know, that they would be put off by something like that? And like, how do you mitigate that fear? Because I know I'm sure that's something that other artists are going to be curious about.
Yeah, surprisingly about this action, I just had positive responses,
really. That's good.
Like I had like art director saying like, that's really good that you stand by your values. Mm-hmm. And like, it was only positive.
That's like, good.
To be honest. And I think it shows like my, like what I believe as a person as well. Like I can,
absolutely.
I can separate both things. In anything I do, like if I'm doing an illustration that require lots of human characters, like I'm always gonna make it diverse, even if the brief doesn't say that, which most of the times they do, nowadays, which I think it's awesome, but even if you don't, like it's something like it's just natural, like
totally
naturally gonna put what I believe in that.
Yeah. And I think that also speaks to like, again, you know, you naturally do this and it's, A, you can't really untie the artist from the art a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I that's something that I think. So I think that also just speaks to like how well you're communicating your values and like, you know, what you believe in and what you think is important through your work, because, you know, it's amazing that you're getting clients that, you know, fully support this and that see that and, you know, are coming to you with briefs that are inclusive and that really understand, like, are aligned with what you want to be doing as well. Like, I think that totally speaks to, like, how well you communicate what you believe in and, like, how honed in your style is. Because, like, yeah, I feel like anybody that looks at your style is like, oh, that's 100% Henry, you know? Like, there's nothing... I've never seen you make an illustration where I'm like, oh, like, that's not... you know, like, that's... Even if it is, like, something new or different for you, it's... I'm never like, oh, that's weird, you know? Like, that's not... That's not him. So I think that's really a testament to like how well, you just communicate through your work. I think that's amazing.
Oh, thank you. That's great to know.
Yeah. And that's something that I'm super interested in too, is like just how you guys get your message across. And especially for somebody like you who, you know, your work can be very like abstract and surreal. So it's super interesting to me that like, even so, like, even though you're not, you know, representing humans is like super accurate, like super lifelike, that message mm-hmm. still comes across and people, you know, clients can still see that, you know, just by you sharing your work and putting it out there, which is awesome.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And then kind of taking that same thread that we were on and expanding on it a little bit. You know, I know artists' work is always informed by their identity. Like I said, I can always tell that something is yours. And I know big parts of your identity are your Brazilian heritage and your non-binary gender identity. I kind of wanted to know, like, in your words, how do these identities manifest in your work? And yeah, just kind of like, how do you motivate yourself to keep putting that message out there and not get kind of discouraged? Because I know it can be hard when you're just one person working on your illustrations.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Well, I think like where you came from is influences a lot, like on everyone. Mm-hmm. But specifically being Brazilian, like, I think like visual references here in Brazil are very joyful and colorful, mm-hmm. etc. And like, Brazil is a very rich country in culture, like mm-hmm. from north to south. And I think especially, like, I think something that not really necessarily influences me on my style, but on the way I do stuff, is what we call here in Brasil, jeitinho brasileiro, which means the Brazilian way.
Love that.
Because, like, Brazilians are very creative, not specifically artistically, but like, everyone has this way of doing things when we have like less resources.
Yeah.
And you have to achieve something, like, and you do like some crazy stuff. Like, I don't have any example here, but I think this way of achieving like your solutions for your problems, like,
yeah.
Not in a linear way, but like,
yeah,
with the resources you have and like in a creative way, like, that inspires
totally.
Me a lot.
Yeah.
And being a non-binary person, like, that influences me a lot when I'm portraying humans, especially. Like, I was looking to my illustrations and like, and I could see that like, some characters you can identify as male or female, etc. Mm-hmm. When I feel like this is not something very important for the message I want to put on my illustration, like, I like playing with this
feel
of being non-binary, of the character being non-binary, because sometimes it's not relevant for the
totally.
Illustration itself, for the message itself. But yeah, that defines my style a lot, I think. But because I think some illustrators has a more feminine style, other mm-hmm. more masculine style. I feel like my style is not even too feminine or too masculine. It's something not really in between, but like, it's not the same language.
Yeah, totally.
I don't seek those visual signs. Like, it's something I've created with myself. And I think it's like, drawing is a way to learn about yourself and the world around you. So definitely those things, they shape my style.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think that's such a great way of putting it, is like, you know, it's not even in the same language. Like, it's a completely different thing. And, you know, if that is your style, like, if you do have a girly style and like, you like feminine stuff, that's great. But like, yeah, mm-hmm. your work kind of lives in a space of its own where it's not really like, that's just not, again, like a relevant defining characteristic of your work. It's just like what it is. It's a really interesting definitely. Way of putting it. I love it. Awesome.
Yeah. And I've made feminine stuff, like draw like feminine style. And I don't think I go to very masculine style, but sometimes like, yes, but I think the way it is in a separate world.
Totally.
By itself, yeah.
And yeah, kind of speaking of that world that you've created for your style, like, how long did it take you to really hone this? Like, once you were kind of, you know, is this something that has always kind of been around since you were, you know, younger in drawing? Or is this something that kind of as you started your professional career, you started to hone? And then, you know, like, how has your style evolved throughout the years? Like, I'm always really interested in seeing some of our illustrators' earlier stuff, because sometimes it looks completely different. And sometimes I'm like, oh, y'all have been doing the same thing and just like making it better and better every year. So like, yeah, kind of where did your style start and how did that evolution happen? And how, you know, when do you feel like you really got to this place where it was honed and like you were creating such a cohesive body of work?
Mm-hmm. That's a interesting question. I think like I'm not in my finished style.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever, you don't ever go to a place that, well, it's time and
this is it.
Moving forward. This is it, yeah. But I was checking some illustrations for 5 years ago. Yeah, and it was very different.
Mm-hmm.
I used to draw so many more elements and like some more surreal and creepy stuff. And I think like the style you have at the moment like speaks a lot about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the shifting point was like when I was in college, and like I was doing like human drawing, etc., mm-hmm. more technical drawings, and I didn't like that as much. And then I remember going to my mom's house and checking my drawings from when I was little, and it was so crazy and like didn't make any sense. It was just free and like surreal and everything, and I loved that. Like, I loved the freedom. And I realized, like, okay, I'm never going to have this same type of freedom as I had here. But, like, I like this aspect of it. And, like, for me, like, what I really like about illustration, what I think is interesting, like, is this visual language of things, like how mm-hmm. one image combined with other one can alter like the meaning of both
mm-hmm.
and create a new narrative, etc. And I think my style was evolving to like be more synchronized with that.
Yeah.
And like the finishing process for me, like coloring and refining the drawing, it's not I don't take that much time, really. Mm-hmm. Like, I think my style evolved to be more simple in a way, like technically.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be like effective on like showing what the message I want to put, and like everything going through my filter, like on how I naturally draw, like, even if I'm drawing about something more serious, like I did, like, on a piece for a newspaper here in Brazil about techno-authoritarianism here in Brazil, in government, like, I try to do that in my way. Like, I was like, okay, my style is more funny or more fun, I don't know, like, I was a bit insecure about it, but like then I found a way of like translating it, like with colors and making like a tense set for everything, like with its bright red, etc.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like using elements and characters in a fun way, you know, like in a cartoony way, like I do. So
yeah.
And I like that. Like I like that, like in illustration, you can work with any topic at all. Like and
absolutely. Yeah, and I think
and
it's so...
how to navigate between those topics and your style and message is what interests me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that, like, every illustrator, like, especially when they're starting out, should remember is, like, obviously, like, there's going to be projects that don't feel as, like, true to you or, like, something that's super, super interesting to you, but it's always so important to bring that, like, to like you said, like, run it through your own filter, because if you don't, like, that's when you start... You know, I've had so many artists on the roster tell me, like, you know, oh, I don't really like doing this kind of work, but I get a lot of it. And, like, you know, I just keep getting inquiries for it. And it's hard to say no. And I'm like, yeah, well, you need to, you know, as hard as it is, you do need to make those decisions for yourself and decide, you know, how you need to be making everything your own, because that's the only way that you're going to get hired for the style that you want to be doing is if you're doing it, you know. So I think that's such an important takeaway, and it seems really simple, like just, oh, you know, draw in your own style for every project that you do, but, you know, no matter the subject matter, but I think it is really difficult to do in practice.
Yeah, that's why personal projects are very important, like for you to show your style, etc. But even when a client sends me like a reference of my own work, but it's like an old reference, I try to understand what's behind the that choice, you know, like, like what they liked about this illustration that works in this project they are imagining it, but how can I make, like adapting to my current style? And usually it works, like, I think it's a part of our work as well, like to bring something new and like that we think it's, it represents our view, you know, like...
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the goal, right? Is to get hired for your own perspective and, like, your own style. And ideally, you know, if you're well-established and, like, you're doing what you want to be doing, that's the kind of work you're going to get. So I think that's super important.
Yeah, but in the start, like, I used to draw in other styles. And I think that's normal. That's a normal path.
But, totally.
It's important to raise your voice and, like, show your work to other people, what you like doing it, like, on social media, etc. Yeah,
absolutely. I could go on and on forever with that one because, you know, how I love marketing, but I do think it's so important to, like, make sure you're showing, you know, the kind of work that you want to be creating because there's, And also something else that you mentioned that I think is really cool is something that, like, so sometimes artists on the roster will come to, like, me and Olivia, one of our artist managers here, and ask, like, oh, you know, are there any trends that you're seeing clients coming in and asking for in terms of, like, style that, you know, I should try out or that, you know, people are coming for that I don't already do? And while, you know, I think obviously it's important to keep in mind where the industry is going and, like, what clients are asking for, something that I love about you that you were saying when you were talking about how you kind of came to your style is that you revisited stuff that you did in the past and, like, you looked at your own work and were like, okay, what is it that I liked about, you know, the way that I was drawing as a kid that, you know, I like and I want to bring into my work now? Or, like, you know, you look at pieces, like different examples that clients bring to you of your old work and you're like, okay, what piece of that do I want to bring into my current style? Like, I think, you know, you can never underestimate the value of going back to your own work as inspiration and, like, you know, trusting that people are going to want to work with you for what you do and not, you know, necessarily looking externally to figure out, you know, where you should take things next. I think that's a super special tactic and, like, a super special way of looking at things.
Yeah. My mom, she keeps everything.
Yeah.
Like, every single thing. She's a Cancer. She likes keeping memories.
Totally. Us water signs.
So that's great. Yeah, that's great. Like, I love that about how she keeps everything. I can look at their archive and stuff. But I do the same way with digital drawings and stuff like I did recently. And sometimes it's like, this is a bit ugly. I don't know. I don't know, like, why people liked it. But it's a sign that you evolved and you, like, in your mind, like, you know what you're doing, like, what you like now. But I don't know, like, I always get this moment during the year, I know, twice a year, or I don't, once a year, like, where I don't like anything I'm doing, really. Yeah. Like, I don't like my style, like, and, well, I think that's normal. And,
yeah.
Like, it's good to challenge yourself and, like, explore new things. Because
absolutely.
Especially working, like, commercially with your art, like, with your illustration, if you don't do that, like, you get caught on the same cycle. And if you want that, it's totally fine. Like, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
I get, like, I don't know, sometimes I just want to change everything.
Yeah, totally. No, that makes sense. And yeah, I totally see how, you know, when clients are coming to you for your style and, like, the stuff that you've done in the past, you know, a lot of the times clients are like, here's an example of what I want. Can you just basically do this? But for this project, it can get really easy to kind of just get stuck in a loop. So I think that's a great point. Awesome. And if you don't mind me asking, this is completely unrelated and more of a personal question. What is your sign?
I'm a Pisces.
Oh my goodness. What's your sign? Water signs. I'm a Scorpio, so water sign as well. I love a good water sign.
Yeah, me too. I am 100% Pisces. My memory is awful. And I caught myself, like, daydreaming, and, like, I'm the person who writes my dreams, and, I have a notebook where I write what I dreamt that night, etc.
That's so fun.
100% Pisces.
I love it. I love me a good Pisces. Yeah, I do believe in water sign supremacy, even though many people would not agree.
Yeah, they're the best. They are the best.
Awesome. Well, my last question for you, this one is the easiest one, so, you know, we'll just breeze through it, but can you tell the people where they can find you and your work?
Of course. They can find me on Instagram at Henri Campier. I'm going to spell it. It's HENRICAMPEA.
Beautiful.
And you can find me, if you Google it, you can find my website and my Instagram, my Behance. It's all at Henri Campier.
And
website, the same thing. And
love it.
Please check my work.
Yeah, please do. His work is amazing. So I know y'all are going to love it.
Thank you.
But yeah, that's the end of the show. Thank you so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. And I'm happy that, even if nobody was listening to this, I'm happy that selfishly I got to spend an hour just chatting with you about you and your work. Because I love it.
Thank you for having me, Andrea. It was great. I love talking to you too.
Of course. Thanks for tuning in to the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to receive the latest episodes. You don't want to miss some of the incredible conversations that we have coming up. They'll be full of powerful insight to help you reach your full creative potential. To find out more about us, visit www.closerandcloser.co. But wait, before you go, we've got something super special for those of you looking for more opportunities to grow your creative career. Head to the show description and join the community. An interactive space to share information, gather resources, and build relationships with other creatives and us here at CNC.